Father God, that is our desire this morning. Lord, that you move in power. God, there's nothing else that satisfies like you. And I believe this morning there's people in our midst that needs to experience that satisfaction in you. So God, would you do something supernatural this morning? Something unexpected this morning? Maybe something that's not in the bulletin this morning? Our God, our total dependence is on you. And you are good. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody go ahead and be seated. Sailor, would you, want to come up for a second? Sailor Bettner shared something with me just a few minutes ago, and I think it will probably encourage us that that God is faithful and nothing's impossible for him. Now, you told me you can do this in just a few minutes.
I'm going to try. Right. Reader's Digest.
All right.
Promise.
All
right. Billy shared a CD series with me many, many months ago. It was back when I was still cooking. And I'm still listening to it over and over and over. It's a cedar series by Graham Cook, and I highly recommend it. Okay, nonetheless, I had been listening to it, and Graham shared the story of a pastor that he knew that was seriously, faithfully dying and faithfully living because he just had no money in his church, and he was distraught, and Graham shared with him, well, if God doesn't give you the money, he'll help you find a way to make the money. So the pastor went off to pray, and he came back, and he said the Lord told him he wanted to open a photocopier business, fixing photocopiers. And he told the Lord, I don't know anything about photocopiers. And the Lord said, I do. So he said, okay. So we put out flyers and got some phone calls. And the first phone call he got, he told him he'd be there in about 5 minutes. And he was there, and he came in with this toolbox, which was completely empty, other than a card with a promise on it from the Lord. But he asked the people, before I can do this, I have to be alone. He laid hands on the photocopier, and they came back to life. And he did this over and over and over and made tons of money, and all praise to God. So I've been listening to that and hadn't even thought about it, what it could be in my own life. But this is back in the summer. We always have to have an AC unit in my bedroom because I'm extremely hot. And 50s, y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so every summer I have this AC window unit, and in my window, it made it to the front porch from the storeroom, but that's as far. Sat there for several weeks, got moved around, upside down, turned around, rained on, and about 2.5 months ago, it finally made it into the window of my bedroom. And we plugged it in, we checked the plugs, we checked everything. It would not work. It's been in my bedroom for over 2 months now, and I've been dying every night thinking I'm just going to sweat to death. And this past Wednesday night, the Lord woke me up at 2:30 in the morning, and he said, why do you not go pray over that window unit? And I said, I bounced out of bed. I didn't procrastinate. I said, yes. I jumped out of bed, went over there, laid hands on it, prayed, hit the power button, and it works.
Praise God.
So if God's concerned about a window unit, what about us? If he's that concerned about that, what about us? That's a good word of testimony. All right, we're going to be finishing up Jeff's sermon series today. It's the Summer of Psalms. Today we're going to be in Psalm 91. And this is another one of my more favorite psalms. Well, this week it is anyway, but it seems like every week there's a new one. It's my favorite. This one happens to be this week. So let's look at Psalm 91. I'm going to read it in its entirety. And then we're going to focus really in on the last three verses. This is a great psalm. The writer is unknown. there's some thought that maybe perhaps it was one of the Levites or the priests that served at the temple. And as he watched people going in and out of the temple, stirred by the Holy Spirit, he penned this particular psalm. Verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." The scripture says there's this place that we can land spiritually. That other translation says this secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a good place to be, and it's available for us. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, and it will not come near you. You will only observe it with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." There's a lot of stuff going on that God is protecting this particular person from, or us from. He's a God of rescue. "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in your hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." There's angelic protection. I don't want to get into that this morning. There's a lot of weird angelic theology floating around, but that's available for us. "You will tread on the lion and the cobra." I haven't done that lately. I don't know about you guys. "You will trample the great lion and the serpent." Again, I haven't had any contact with those. But I'm believing what God says. And then the verses I really want to focus in on this morning is 14 through 16. It says, because, and it shifts. The psalmist is writing up to this point, led by the Holy Spirit, and then God speaks. And if we had red letters in the Old Testament, these would be red letters. And God says, "Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges or knows my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." The sermon this morning is "The God Who Rescues" out of Psalm 91. And if you find your note sheet, you know, feel the freedom to take notes. I spent almost 24 years in the Abilene Fire Service, and I saw a lot of stuff over a 24-year period. I witnessed a number of heart attacks, cancer struggles, vehicle accidents. You know, firefighters don't just fight fires anymore. About 80% of their responses are medically related. And so, I saw a lot of that stuff. I also saw, the darker side of our culture, the darker side of Abilene, Texas. And, there's a lot of people that need Jesus to move. Amen. Suicides, attempted suicides, and just abuse. My goodness, it runs rampant in our city, something that we're shielded from. And I retired 7 years early because I just kind of got tired of seeing people hurt. Well, God called me into ministry full time, and guess what? I get to see people hurt every day. Hallelujah. But it's okay. It's okay. I have a new calling, a new purpose. Not all the incidents we responded to were tragic or difficult. Some of them were pretty lighthearted and random. We responded to a lot of random incidents. Firefighters for years, they were known for getting cats out of trees back in the 40s and 50s. I responded to one cat stuck in a tree call and encouraged the people to let the cat come down because most cats are smart enough, I found out. If they can get up the tree, they can find their way back down. It's amazing. I've never seen a set of cat bones in a tree. I've never seen a cat carcass in a tree. You may have, but I've never seen that. If they go up, they'll get down. Now, there was one young lady whose cat was in a tree, and she went up to get it down. The cat came down, but she got stuck in the tree herself. And so we literally had to rescue her from the tree. I think probably the most random incident we responded to is the day that we didn't respond to get a cat out of a tree or a girl out of a tree. It's the day we responded to rescue a bird from a tree. Now, most birds don't need to be rescued from trees. I'm almost certain of that. I stand in my backyard, and they come and go, you know. They look like they know what they're doing. But we got a call one night about dark, and it was categorized as a special duty, which meant we responded in non-emergency mode to try to help the calling party with whatever their random issue was. And so we go to the address, and we're greeted by this nice elderly lady that told us that her pet bird, it's a sun-fed conure. Has anybody ever heard of a sun-fed conure? Okay. never mind. What is the people who watch birds? What are they termed, categorized as? Bird watchers? Well, I was looking for the more of the technical term, but we'll go, huh? Okay, bird watchers. Yes, that's what we'll go with. But anyway, she said that her bird was in the top of a pecan tree that which was actually about 60 foot tall, three or four houses down from her house. And she went on to, and I said, well, how do you know it's there? She said, well, I can hear it. It has a distinct call. And so we were quiet, and sure enough, we could hear this bird in the distance. And she says, he's never been outside before. He's frightened. And so she went on to explain to us that the bird, most of the day when it's not in its cage, is perched on her shoulder as she walks around the house going about her routine. And she walked outside to take the trash out. She forgot the bird was on its shoulder, and I guess what birds do, they fly. And so the bird flew off. And this happened in the middle of the afternoon, and the bird was kind of hopping from tree to tree and ended up in the top of this pecan tree. And she said, can you help me get my bird down? And I so desperately wanted to ask her, ma'am, do you have a pellet gun I can borrow? Yes, I can. I can get your bird down. Maybe not on the first shot because it's dark. But I did not say that. I didn't. So I called my battalion chief, Larry Bell. He came to the scene, and I said, Larry, do we really want to help this lady get her bird down? And he said, well, why not? You know, it was a pretty quiet evening. And so we're on the scene in a $750,000 fire engine, me and my crew. And he calls for a $1.25 million ladder truck to come to the scene with four more firefighters. So we've got $2 million worth of fire equipment on the scene, eight firefighters, and we're going to rescue an $1,100 bird from the top of this tree. And so, you know, the guys set up their truck, and they're getting ready to raise the ladder and extend the basket and maybe perhaps can get to the bird because it's, like I said, in the top of this tall pecan tree. And I asked the lady, I said, if we can even get to it, what's going to keep it from flying off? She said, well, it'll stay there. And she handed us her cage and said, just extend the cage the bird's direction. It'll jump in. I said, okay, well, we trust you. So that's what they did. They extended the ladder to within reach of the bird, and they extended the bird, the cage the bird's direction, and it jumped in the cage. And so they shut the door to the cage, and they said, we've got the bird, and the crowd of about 150 people just goes wild, just erupts, you know. And so we hand the bird back to the woman, and, you know, she promises us a brisket meal, which we never got, but I'm not upset about that. And so, you know, the crowd disperses, we rig down, and we drive off into the dark of the night, heroes once again. And, you know, the citizens of Abilene, Texas rested well that night because we were on duty. But random story. You know, as I was thinking about that story, it's a great picture of a God who rescues us. You know, we end up sometimes in places we don't need to be. And sometimes that's by our own poor choices. And sometimes that's just, you know, life in general. Moves us a direction where we need the Lord to move in our lives. And God is a God of rescue. And it doesn't matter where we are, where we've been, the mistakes we made, He is ready and willing to rescue. And the psalm says, if we love Him and we acknowledge Him, He'll rescue us. He will rescue us. I don't know if you guys were here several months ago, but Nick and Daniel Gooch, I don't see them this morning. Are you here? Because I was going to ask you permission to share this. And since you're not here, I guess I can do that. I just didn't want to embarrass them with them being here. But one of their daughters, I just didn't. But it's on the tape, guys. I love you if you happen to listen to this. But one of their daughters was in during the children's sermon, was leaving to go to children's church, and she had a shoe mishap. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. And she has one shoe on and she takes 5 or 6 steps, and the other shoe is half on and half off. And so I'm watching her kind of struggle, and she says, "Daddy, help me. Daddy, help me." And Nick jumps up, instantly jumps up, and comes down because his child needed him. And he resolved the shoe issue, put her shoe back on, and she happily goes off to children's church. Everybody applauds. And Nick goes back to his seat. But, you know, Nick wasn't necessarily worried about his reputation. That could have been maybe perhaps embarrassing for him. And God's not concerned about his reputation either. He's absolutely not. So when we're in a funk, we're a mess, and he comes after us, most people would say that person's not worth rescuing. But God has a different opinion of that. He's a God of rescue. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness, Colossians 1:13 and 14. Lee, can you get that on the scene, on the screen, please? I'm all over the map. I know I am. Thank you. He rescued us through Jesus Christ from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Other translation says he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We were here. I was there at age 24. And then I gave my life to Jesus, and he put me here, a whole different position. And he does that for us if we accept him. You know, at that point, I was no longer my own. I was here, but now I'm here. My old self is dead. It's dead. It's in the grave. And sometimes I try to resurrect this old self. I try to breathe life into it. You know, I may go to the grave site and dig it up and drag it around with me. How ridiculous is that? You know, we don't hang out in cemeteries and talk to our old self. He transferred us, and we are new creations in Christ Jesus. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. All of us were shut up into disobedience. All of us were held captive by the evil one to do his will, but he rescued us. And he continues to rescue us. I want to look quickly at three ways that he continues to rescue us. The first way is that he rescues us from temptations. From temptations. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. It says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you may stand under it." You know, the promise from Scripture is that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can stand. And all of us are tempted every day. I'm tempted every day to give in to some kind of struggle. I'm on the Internet. And, you know, I'm just innocently, you know, looking at some news articles. And you got all these advertisements that just flash up over here. So one pops up, and, you know, I've got a choice to make. Am I going to look at that? Am I going to click on this next web link, or am I going to move on? And God's Word says that he always provides a way out for us when the temptations come. And so that tells me if there's an out for us and it's always provided and this temptation comes and I can look for this out, and I can choose to go that direction instead of going the direction that the temptation is leading me. He always makes an out. And I think for us, that's what we need to do. We need to look for that out. And sometimes that out is subtle, and sometimes it's a pretty obvious out. We have some friends that years ago, one of the spouses decided they were going to have an affair. And they were going to meet this particular person at noon one particular day. And we tried to encourage this person not to go through with it, but they decided they were going to do it. I don't care what you guys say. At noon that particular day, at 10:30, that person gets a call from somebody they haven't seen in years, and they used to be real good friends. And this person says, "Hey, I was sitting here just thinking about you, wondering what you're up to. What are you doing for lunch today? What are you doing for lunch today?" This person chose to go to lunch with the friend rather than follow through with what else was going on. And God made an out. So as we move forward, church, he's the God of rescue in the area of our temptations. Look for the out. It's got to be there. It really does. And if it's not there, then God's not faithful. God's not honest. He's basically a liar if that out is not there. Look for it. I'm going to look for it. He's got a rescue from our temptation. Second area of rescue is from evil attacks. From evil attacks. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:14 through 18. It says, at my first defense, this is Paul writing to Timothy, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And he literally may have been in the Roman Colosseum and God protected him. I don't know what that means. It says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was had a number of physical attacks on his body. He was stoned. He was beaten. I mean, people were breathing murderous threats against him. I think at the core of all those attacks was the enemy trying to take Paul out because Paul was leading tons of people to Christ. So most of the attacks from Paul were physical, but I think there were also mental attacks that the enemy came against him with. And we see some of that maybe perhaps in Romans chapter 7. And I think for us, maybe most of our attacks are not maybe physical, even though I've had some physical afflictions that I believe were demonic. The reason I believe that is because we prayed about it and they left. And we stood against the enemy and what he was trying to do. But most of the attacks come up here between our ears. You know, the voices that the enemy, and I don't understand why his voice is so much louder than all the other voices, louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. But we hear things like, you're worthless, you're not going to amount to anything. You know, you've made this mistake and God will never forgive you for that. And, you know, a lot of times we continue to dwell on those things that the voices say. And, you know, it kind of moves us in a direction to where, you know, we can convince ourselves sometimes to have a pretty bad day. And sometimes we get stuck there. You know, we need to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is always confirming, always leads us to repentance. And we must choose to also, when the evil attacks come, we must choose to dismiss them. And we need to choose to think positive thoughts about who God is for us, about who we are in him. Now, I'm not saying we need to buy into this thought of the power of positive thinking. If you think positively, good things will happen. I'm not saying that. But, you know, we are brand new creatures in Christ. We are awesome in his sight. And he loves us. And it's okay for us to dwell on those things. I was visiting with a gentleman several weeks ago. And there's something happened in their job. And they lost their job. And I believe that this person was wronged by their employer. And that particular person was very angry and bitter. And I prayed with them, tried to encourage them. And saw them a couple of weeks later, and they were exactly in the same spot they were 2 weeks before. Still angry, still bitter, still thinking about the way people wronged them, still dwelling on the things of the past. And I don't know if I was as kind as I should have been, but I said, look, man, 2 weeks ago, you're stuck. You're the same place you were 2 weeks ago. I said, you got a lot to be thankful for. You got a lot to praise the Lord for. Choose to praise him. Jeff says this all the time. It's hard to be discouraged when you praise him. But choose to praise him. Choose to dwell on the things that God is doing for you, the things that God has done for you. Don't dwell on the things that these people did to you. We talked for about 10 minutes, and that person said, well, you know, God has been good to me all these years. He has been faithful. Well, I got a good wife. I love my wife. I am so blessed. And it took about 10 minutes for this person to shift their thinking towards the good things of the Lord and not the negative things that the enemy wants us to dwell on. Saw the person 3 or 4 days later, and they were still praising the Lord for how good he was. Now, the enemy may still try to sneak in with those thoughts encouraging this person to be angry and bitter towards this person or have him dwell on that situation. But he's good today. And so we need to allow God to rescue us, not only from temptations, but also from evil attacks. The third category is that he rescues us from trials. He rescues us from trials. You know, trials are either something that we inflict ourselves with because maybe perhaps of poor choices, or trials are just the trials of life in general, the difficulties that come. And God is a God of rescue in that area. You know, I'll remember the story of Lot. He made a pretty poor choice. You know, Scripture says that he and Abraham split their clans at one point because their livestock, the number of livestock they had was too enormous for them to continue to move and graze in certain areas. And so Lot chose to move his clan towards Sodom, which he didn't know really what was going on down there. Abraham went the other direction. And Scripture says that Lot pitched his tents near Sodom. And then I'm sure he investigated the community, knew what was going on, a lot of carnality there. God eventually destroyed the city because of the sin that was great in that city. Three chapters later in Genesis, we see that Lot is living inside the city limits of Sodom. Bad decision for him. Poor decision. It cost him the life of his future sons-in-law. It cost him the life of his wife. And but there is scripture in 2 Peter 2 that mentions what was going on inside of Lot during that time. It says he's a righteous man. He was living among people that their filthy lives were tormenting his righteous soul by the deeds that he saw and he heard. And then scripture says, if this is so, which God did rescue Lot from that situation, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. So God knows how to rescue us from trials. I don't know if you're going through a trial this morning, but you know, James tells us to consider it pure joy. We ought to be excited about the trials that are going on in our life. If you look at that scripture in James, it speaks about when the trials come, our faith is being tested, which develops perseverance. And it says perseverance must finish its work. And sometimes the rescue process when we're going through trials isn't an instant rescue. Sometimes it takes a while. It doesn't mean that God's not moving. It means that the rescue is not going to come all at once, even though Scripture says if we call out to him, he will move on our behalf. If I mention the name Jessica McClure, does that name sound familiar to anybody? Y'all know who Jessica McClure is? She was a little 18-month-old girl that fell down in a well in Midland, Texas in 1987. And it took 58 hours to rescue her. And what they did, they drilled another hole beside the well hole that she fell down into, and they run into some really thick rock. And had to call in some professionals in the drilling business, and they just developed a brand new drill bit to where they could actually drill through the rock, so they drilled a hole down beside it, and then when they got down to the level she was at, then they drilled a horizontal hole into the shaft she was in, and they pulled her out. 58 hours is what it took, but every part of that rescue was necessary. The drilling was necessary. The bringing in the experts was necessary. And she survived. She had one leg was straight down. The other, when she fell, I guess she stepped in, and this one leg went up like this, and it was just pressed against her upper body for 58 hours. And I read something on her this morning that she's doing very well. But the point is that all rescues aren't a quick rescue. It's not a quick resolution. Sometimes we have to go through things, but God will prove himself to be faithful, and he will rescue us. I want to go back to Psalm 91 again. Look at those last three verses one more time. And here is a prerequisite for rescue. Verse 14 says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges," or he knows, "my name." If we love the Lord And if we're His, we acknowledge Him and we know Him and He knows us, then He will rescue us. He is a God of rescue for us. And if we don't know Him, then He is still our rescuer. We just need to invite Jesus Christ into our life. It says verse 15, He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble or through the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's the promise from the Lord. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He rescues us because he loves us. He rescues us because we acknowledge his name. And he rescues us because we are citizens of the kingdom. About, I guess, 3 years before I retired, we made a house fire one day that the engine I was on, we were 2 minutes away from the scene. Was going to be the first piece of equipment to arrive, and so we responded, and the ladder truck was behind us. And our responsibility was to go inside the house and extinguish the fire. Their responsibility was, the ladder truck's responsibility, was to do ventilation and search and rescue. And we had heard on the way that there was people trapped in the house. And so we pull up to the house, and there's smoke coming out of all the windows, and the citizens who and people, bystanders, people who were driving by that stopped were breaking out the windows of the house, which weren't really doing us any favors because that just spread the fire. But, it you know, they didn't know, and I'm not upset about that. But I got there and I jumped off the engine, and I always did a little perimeter look at the house to see maybe where the fire was located, see if any windows were open, doors were open, so forth and so on. And I went down the side, right side of the house, and I looked in the backyard, and there was a lady who was sitting on a picnic bench, picnic table bench, and she was badly burned. God bless her. There was another lady that was with her. And she said, this lady's sister and her little girl are inside the house. And so I relayed that information to the other crews. And about the time I got around and got my mask on, we took the hose line inside and we put the fire out, which didn't take too long. It was a Christmas tree that had gotten dry and caught on fire, and it caught the curtains on fire and some furniture. But it smoked the house up so bad that there was zero visibility. And so we're inside the living room putting the fire out. The ladder guys go in behind us, and they go down and make a left and go back towards some bedrooms in the back of the house down a hallway. And they miss finding the mom and the little girl by, you know, probably 6 inches. They just went by them and couldn't see them. And so after the fire was out, we started searching as well. And I went to that same spot that they had just passed, and I don't know, something it was just something supernatural. All of a sudden, the smoke just cleared right over these two bodies, and I see the mom and the little girl there. And so I had a flashlight in my hand, and I just scooped the little girl up, and I brought her outside, and you know, she wasn't breathing, and her body was pretty lifeless. And, you know, it was my job to rescue her. It was my job to serve and protect the citizens of Abilene. And so as I have this little girl in my hand, and she's not breathing, you know, I didn't do this, okay? I didn't go through this long list of things to try to determine if she was worthy of being rescued or not. You know, what's her parents like? You know, are they productive members of society? What's she going to be like when she grows up? And I tell you, if skin color would have been an issue, I was white and she was black. And, you know, I didn't think about all that stuff. This girl deserved to be rescued because it was my job to do that. I was hired to serve and protect and to rescue. And so we did that. Had some guys come over, help, got some oxygen on her, and they revived her mom, and God bless the sister in the backyard. She didn't make it. But you know, the point is that, you know, it doesn't matter what we go through. You know, God doesn't just determine, well, this person is worthy of it, this person's not worthy of it. This person's gone too far, this one just hasn't done enough for me, hasn't done enough for the kingdom. He will rescue us. He will rescue us. He'll rescue us from temptations. He'll rescue us from trials. He will rescue us from any situation in our life. But we have to call out to him in order for that to happen. You pray with me. God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you're a God of rescue. And we thank you, Lord, that your promise is that if we call out to you, you will answer us. And you're not just willing, but you are more than willing. And you're more than able to move on our behalf just because we love you, just because we acknowledge you, and just because we're known by you. Lord, I don't know what needs to happen here this morning. I felt kind of like my thoughts were a little disjointed this morning, God. But you know what, Lord? I could get up here and read the phone book, and you can move and touch lives. So it doesn't really depend on me. It depends on you. So, Lord, have your way with us this morning. Have your way with us this morning. God, would you set captives free this morning? Would you bring encouragement into lives this morning? Holy Spirit, would you continue to move and open us up to the deeper things of the Lord so we'll know how you feel about us? Oh God, we trust you like no other. And you are good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead and stand and let's worship. If you need to visit with Jeff or I, you can catch one of us and pray with us if you need to. Let's worship.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're
you're all.
Church, don't forget our fun night this Wednesday night. We're going to have a lot of fun. That's why we call it fun night. So I encourage you guys to come. And God bless you this week as you allow God to be the God of rescue for you. God bless you. Have a great day.
You're